This is the moment you've all been waiting for.
GC and RC.
Welcome to a brand new episode of DC.
Coming to you from Lafayette, Louisiana.
It's DC and RC.
Hailing from Aurora, Louisiana.
It's fight night. Get your right hook in your right eye. Change how you look. Daniel Cormier and Ryan Clark. The champs are here with battle scars. It's warfare. Louisiana's in the air. From Aurora to Lafayette to Los Angeles to Times Square.
I could go one show without you going, I'm a Super Bowl champion.
When the mic's on, it's showtime. DC and RC, we winning Super Bowls and Emmys. And Daniel got two belts around the belly.
UFC history! Daniel Cormier!
Hey, I'm DC, two division champ. I ran the UFC.
Because we asking all the tough questions.
This guy's the worst, RC. I don't know how you could do a show with
DC, you broke my heart.
This is MMA, mixed martial all-stars. And we've got that ground and pound, so be on guard. Around, cause we want it all, but there can only be one in the octagon. DC and RC, DC and RC, DC and RC, ESPN, tune in to see.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of DC and RC. I'm Daniel Cormier. That's my man, Ryan Clark. RC, look, man. I love the time of the show. I love getting to talk to you every single week. And I love that today there were no technical issues. There were no mic checks. We just got right to work.
Hey, first off, we had a million mic checks. And the only person that ever has technical issues is you. And you need someone to help you through every little thing. I've never seen an adult human be so coddled and taken care of. I thought Dana White privilege only extended into the octagon, but for you, it's throughout your entire life. You wrestle, coach wrestling, and fight. That's it. The rest of your life is handled by other people.
RC, let me tell you something. I know that you get coddled because the person that does your videos is a master manipulator, and he makes you look like you don't even walk anymore, bro. I watched you walking into a football stadium today, and you didn't even walk. It looked like you were floating in slow motion heading into the football game, dog. I could not believe how good this person is at making you look good.
DC, you remember the old Spike Lee movies? Whenever they'd have them walking, they'd just be moving like this, but they weren't walking like they were on some type of a sled. That's how I walk around a stadium now. That is very true. That is very true.
I was like, this dude's feet touch the ground anymore. All right, man. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about UFC 297 last weekend. I also sit down with Seth freaking Rollins, and RC and I will talk about the BMF championship fight. But yeah, RC, we got to talk about last weekend's fight. Drakus Duplessis took on the former champion, Sean Strickland. Last week, you said, I absolutely hate watching Drakus fight because it just seems like he is moving around the octagon with no purpose. But obviously, he has a purpose in there. And now he's the middleweight champion of the world. RC, dude loves nothing more than saying, I told you so. That's exactly what he did to the world last weekend.
DC, when I look back at Drakus' fight against Sean Strickland, I was impressed. I'm going to be honest with you. One, I was impressed with his cardio. You know, I heard you guys speaking about the procedure he had to his nose. I think it was more than that. I felt like he prepared to go through a 5-round war. And he was also the aggressor. When you think about Sean Strickland's fight with Israel Adesanya, who is obviously one of the best counter strikers in the entire world, he continued, Sean Strickland, that is, he pressured Izzy throughout the entire fight. I thought Drakus was the aggressor and the guy that moved forward, especially through the first 4 rounds. He also mixed in some level changes and got takedowns of Sean Strickland as well. I thought he had an extremely good plan pre-fight, and I felt like he executed that to an extremely high level. And his power was also evident. No, he never rocked Sean or dropped him, but I felt like when he was connecting, he connected with some of the more powerful shots. Even though it seemed Sean was able to control the fight with his jab. You know, these were two high-level fighters. I felt like Dracus took a step up in the way that he fought in this fight. And so now he's the champion, and I have no problem with the decision, even though Dana White said he scored it for Strickland. I felt like this thing could have gone either way. My question to you, though, DC, is we've watched this belt go from Izzy to Alex, back to Izzy to Sean Strickland, now Dracus Duplessis. Is Dracus the guy to take a hold of this belt the way we saw Israel Adesanya for so long?
Listen, I'm going to answer that. But RC, I want to make this point really fast. Isn't it weird when you watch Duplessis and then it kind of makes sense? That's what happened for me. When I watched him fight Robert Whittaker, for so long I felt like, well, what's his plan? Like, what's he doing? Like, is he just freestyling? It made sense in the Whittaker fight. I was like, okay, now I can see. I have a better understanding of what he's doing. Now I know that he has a purpose and he's doing things in a way that he intends to do them. Last weekend, it was even on more display. And I feel like that's why you go, okay, now I appreciate Dracus, because now it kind of becomes clear to you, wow, this dude really does or has developed a fighting style that works for him. And he can do it against the best in the world. Now, to your question, anytime you have a guy like Israel Adesanya, who's held the belt for so long, and a belt that moved from Anderson for so long, a belt that never changes hands, you start to see that division as a division that has stability. It hasn't had that since Izzy lost the belt. The belt has moved, like you said, between four people now in a matter of 2 years. It's hard to say when you still look at Dracus and you think, what style is going to be good for him? I think so many people before would have said Khamzat Chimaev is going to be the guy that's going to bring stability. But then when you watch Dracus wrestle last weekend against Sean Strickland, it doesn't seem like Khamzat's going to be able to just take him down. Bro, he is massive for the weight class.
Yes.
He has a fighting style that is so hard to game plan against. He looks like a guy that could reign for a long time. But even in saying that, RC, I would not be surprised if it continues to be a hot potato, just like the light heavyweight belt. It seems like nowadays there is more changeover in champions than we've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, and that's what's strange about the fighting world now. It seems like fighters are more skilled than they've ever been, but we are seeing these heavyweight belts, or now the middleweight belt, change hand time after time. I mean, also light heavyweight, when you look at what it's been since John Jones and the days of Daniel Cormier as well. But talking about the belt changing hands or changing waist, former champion, middleweight champion Israel Adesanya watched the fight, and here's his reaction to DDP's win.
Now he is the fourth African champion in the UFC history. So congrats to you, my African brother, Dracus Duplessis. I'm actually not like legit, I'm happy for him. I actually like his story and whatnot, but he still did what he did, and I'm still gonna test that ass.
You hear Israel Adesanya speaking on DDP's win and sort of the conflict those two have had. In your estimation, DC, or in your best guess, will his first defense be against Israel Adesanya?
RC, if I'm being honest, and I'm Dracus Duplessis, I'm hoping that it's against Israel Adesanya, right? I'm hoping for the biggest fight. I'm hoping for the opportunity to put an end to the rivalry. Could I be completely honest with you, RC? I still don't quite understand the rivalry between those two. I get all the stuff that Izzy spoke to in the history of South Africa and Africa, and I get it. But I still don't quite understand where the rivalry begins. I don't know if it's a gym thing, because I did see a video Izzy posted with Dracus sparring with Alexander Volkanovski. But I still don't quite get the rivalry. Sure, I'm into it. I love it. I love that these guys despise each other. I love that it's going to be a big fight, and I believe that that would be a great main event for UFC 300, but I still don't quite understand the rivalry, RC. I don't know if you, as a guy that's more tapped in to Izzy, knows a little bit more than I do, because I really don't get it.
Yeah, I think this history seems to be rooted in, I mean, I guess history, right? And what Israel Adesanya feels about the South Africans, the way that DDP has approached Israel Adesanya's heritage. I mean, just also, too,
yes.
We deal with it here in America, but the difference in colors or pigments of skins and what that means to each culture. So I think there's a ton that's gone on between these men mm-hmm. that we don't quite understand, but it has created a mm-hmm. rivalry. It has created somewhat of a narrative of bad blood between these two. And as much as we love the art of fighting, it's nothing that fans love more than an actual beef, right? Than some sort of actual mm-hmm. tension between two fighters, because we expect that that will bring out the best in each of them. Now, we've also seen recently, when you go back to Kobe Covington and Leon Edwards, it could all just be fodder for play. It could just be the buildup to a fight, and then they can get inside the octagon and it can kind of be like womp, womp, womp. But I don't believe that with the styles of fighting of these two men, some of the things we've heard about them going back and forth, that that would be a boring fight. What's, I guess, the next question to be answered is, when is Israel Adesanya willing to come back inside the octagon? DDP said he was banged up after the fight. If you got to see him in the post fight press conference, he was really beat up. It's one of those situations where you got to say, I'd love to see the other guy. Right, the guy that lost, when you're looking at DDP's mm-hmm. face. But I think this is a very interesting topic going forward, is when will DDP be healthy and when will Israel Adesanya be willing to come back?
Yeah. And that's my question, RC. That's my question, because it was universally thought to be concerned when Alexander Volkanovski, after getting knocked out by Islam, said, I want to go back in there. I want to be back in there right away. It wasn't January, but now it's February, and everybody still is a bit concerned. Adesanya spoke openly about needing time. But do you believe now, and again, you just clarified, right? It was because DDP says he's more African and all that. Now I remember it, right? You made it pop back up into my head why they have such an issue. But Izzy said he needed time, to the point that he told people he was going to wait till 2027. But now he sees this guy as the champion, somebody who it would seem to be a favorable matchup. Is it still too soon, though? Would it be a mistake for Adesanya to come back into a title fight as early as maybe April, May? Because Dana did say the other day, Conor's not necessarily 100% June, April, May, June, when he says he needs more time. Because it seemed like the life was getting to Adesanya, right? The DUI and the fight being a flat against Strickland. Like, would it still be too soon for Izzy? Like, does he need to avoid that rush to closure with Dracus and still take the time needed for himself before he goes back into the octagon?
You know, Izzy is mid-30s now. And, you know, we've seen fighters like yourself fight beyond this. Obviously, now we're seeing the John Joneses of the world, Stipe Miocic, talking about making a comeback as well. But we haven't seen a ton of fighters excel after this point in their lives. And so it's really only Izzy can know. Only Israel Adesanya can know if he's prepared both mentally and physically to return to the octagon. Even though the Sean Strickland fight was one of those sort of surprising outcomes and one of the biggest upsets in UFC, it wasn't Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. It wasn't Amanda mm-hmm. Nunes, Ronda Rousey. It wasn't one of those fights where this champion or giant of the game was dominated so badly that we're nervous about them returning. Sean Strickland outfought Israel Adesanya. He outskilled him in that fight with the shell defense, the Philly shell, and being able to continue pressuring Israel Adesanya. He obviously dropped him in the first round, but it wasn't one of those fights where you're like, oh, my God, somebody throw in the towel. Oh, please, Mr. Referee, stop the fight.
Yeah, he's done.
And so I think that's a little different. Now, can Israel Adesanya come back and be the best of himself, though? And that's the question he has to answer for himself, because if we look at his last few fights, you have the Jan Błachowicz loss. You have the Alex Pejeda loss. And then obviously Sean Strickland beating him in a decision. Can he come back and be the guy we fell in love with both outside, but more importantly, inside the octagon? And if he can answer that question as a resounding yes, I don't think there's a fight the UFC would like to make more than this one.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic fight. And RC, hats off to the new champ, Drakus du Plessis. But there was also a new champion last weekend as the Bantamweight Championship was determined and Raquel Pennington won the belt. But even though that was a good fight between two good fighters and there is a new champion, the division still revolves around the great Amanda Nunes, who was in the building, and she had this to say after the fight.
When I saw Rock with the belt, I was okay, you know? I don't was that, like, upset or anything like that. I think I did the right decision, you know, retire, rest a little bit, and take care of the babies, you know? I cannot let Nina with two babies by herself. And it also be enjoyed too, you know? I, like you know, my whole life, I, you know, was fighting, relayed, and I don't be able really to enjoy my 20s. My 20s passed like that. I'm 35 now, and now I'll be able to go back to Brazil, stay a little bit with my friends and family, enjoy, and then see what happens, you know? I'm still young, you know, fresh, you know, like, we never know. So we have a lot of things to do. I got to figure out a bunch of things at home still, what am I going to do, and see what happens.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Marcy. Listening to that, right? Listening to Amanda, to me, that sounds like someone that said, okay, I want to walk away. I don't want to deal with the pressures of it for a little bit. But now the bug is starting to, it's itching again. She's starting to get the itch. Like, maybe I want to fight. And guess what? Juliana Pena was talking about her yesterday and said, I knew she wouldn't be gone for too long. Dude. Do you think Amanda comes back, especially after seeing Raquel Pennington become the champion?
DC, I'm going to be honest with you, man. If I'm Amanda Nunes watching that fight, I feel like when I'm at home watching the commercial of Emmitt Smith and Jerry Rice pretending that they want to come back and play. Their jerseys are all frumpy. They're running slow as hell. That's how Amanda Nunes had to feel sitting octagon side watching that fight, to know that I'm better than both of these women. I've already proven that I'm better than both of these women. She walked away after a dominant performance as well, DC. And so when you think about who Amanda Nunes is and what she's been to the women's division of the UFC, I certainly believe that she'll come back. But the UFC is going to have to make it worth it for Amanda Nunes. And here's my statement. There's no way after watching Raquel Pennington win that championship, you can't find a way to make it worth it for Amanda Nunes. I respect all fighters, DC, and I love the fact that they have to grind to get where they were. That was an awful fight to watch. It looked
here
like
it
a
goes.
Fight of people.
He can hear me under my breath. Like here a, it go.
It looked like a fight with between two people who got a game plan, and as they were walking to the octagon, they say, F the game plan, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. It seemed like two people who knew good and dang well it's no way they should be fighting for a championship. And if that is what's going to be the highest level of the bantamweight division for the UFC, there should be a serious discussion of getting rid of it. For so long, we were trying to figure out in the heavier division, okay, who is going to fight Amanda Nunes? And then obviously we got an opportunity to see Julia Pena not only fight well against her, but submit her, take the belt. It built excitement for the next fight. Now, when she has to back out of the trilogy, we see another fight where Amanda dominates. And now this is what we have because Juliana Pena could not perform. If this is what it's going to be, DC, I'd rather you not put it on the card. That's just my opinion.
Here it is. Here he goes again. Arrow, every time you start, you make a certain face. Like you make, hey, when you're about to go dastardly, you make a certain face, and I know here he comes.
It's not funny. What's I'm that? Dead serious. I was sleepy and I had to watch that. Because I was trying to get the Sean Strickland, Drakus Duplessis.
I think to myself, here come the disrespect. Every time you do it, I think to myself, here come the disrespect. All right. So, RC, okay, I have to disagree with you. It wasn't that bad. And we can't get rid of the division. What did stick out to me, RC, and what was a little bit upsetting was that it seemed so clear as to what Raquel Pennington needed to do in order to end the fight in a resounding way.
Yes.
That's what was frustrating to me. Because I believe, and look, I really do think, while you say what you say, and you say it in a very good way, it's not a thought that is of a small portion of people. People are probably disappointed in the way that the fight went down. Because if you're in a situation like this, right, when there's an interim championship, you want something that sticks with you. Tom Aspinall, right? We're not getting John Jones, Stipe Miocic. But when Tom Aspinall does what he does to Sergey Pavlovich, you're like, okay, this is real. When Amanda Nunes leaves and you get an opportunity to fight a Myra Buena Silva who looks like she's exhausted and would take an opportunity to get out of there if you gave her the chance, Raquel Pennington could have went out there and finished her. And I think that would have made more of an impression on people. And then people wouldn't want to be hoping for Amanda to come back. Or Juliana wouldn't be so vocal now. Because you've essentially allowed for Juliana now to run her mouth freely because of the way you fought in that fight, not finishing Myra Buena Silva.
Yeah, DC, I just don't know. I'm just being honest. I think we sort of got spoiled and also bored of Amanda Nunes when we shouldn't have been either. We got spoiled because we always knew that her fights would be dynamic, explosive, that she'd always enter the octagon ready to do whatever it took to win. And we sort of got bored of it because she was so good. But I think now, looking back at it, we want to see more of that dominance or more of the competitiveness in which she fought. And hearing her say she may have the itch, it's some things she has to take care of in Brazil, it sort of excites me because to me that only means one thing. At some point, we may get to see Juliana Pena, Amanda Nunes 3, which we know would be fireworks because Juliana would fight her butt off and Amanda Nunes is the GOAT. I mean, even Cyborg chimed in a little bit and said she was 10-0 since that 2018 meeting. And, you know, this was the co-main event that went along with the main event of Drakus Duplessis and Sean Strickland. But there was a fight early on in the day that had what we'll just call a controversial ending. And here it is.
For the winner, by split decision, Sean the Snake Bell.
You won, Sean. He called your name. You won, bro. He called your name.
Guys, Sean Woodson won the fight.
God.
DC,
RC.
What's going on in that moment?
RC, it's... Dude, it sounded like Bruce said Sean the Sniper Woodson, but the guy he was fighting was Charl, right? Charl and Sean. I don't know. Charl Jordan and Sean Woodson. I don't know. Dude, that's my first time hearing it back. And it sounded like he said Charl a little bit and Sean combined, but then the ref raises the other guy's hand. Sean Woodson is dejected. And I'm thinking to myself, did I hear wrong? Because now I'm nervous, right? RC, I'm nervous now at that point because I don't want to mess up and go try to interview the wrong person. So I was like, Sean, you won the fight. And he's like, wait, what? Then the people are booing because, bro, Canadian men went 0-8 on that night. That would have been the only fight that they won all night long. So it was like they started booing. It was crazy. But what did Buffer do? Did Buff just combine two names, bro? Was that Buff's fault? Be honest.
Honestly, if you've ever seen Bruce, and I know other people haven't, we have, Bruce be so fired up and hyped up. I'm surprised this is the first time he combined two names, dog. And what's even funnier is everybody was confused. You know, like, there's normally one person, and it was you this time. I was like, hey, nah, man, you won the fight. Everybody was like, certain dudes was raising their hand when they shouldn't have been raising their hand, and corners was cheering when they shouldn't have been cheering. Other corners was sad as hell. And then you was like, I don't want to interview the wrong person. You know, and so that's one of those things that, like, and I can't imagine for you guys in that moment, DC, one, to think you've won a fight that you didn't, or to think you've lost a fight that you didn't lose. And so in that moment, I'm sure the confusion provoked so many emotions in so many people. Yeah. I wish it could be one of those things where we had bubbles over your head that was telling us what the hell everybody was thinking at the time.
There's only one person that was sadder. It was that girl with Steve Harvey. When Steve Harvey did that to that one girl at Miss America.
Yes.
That's the only person that was ever more confused. Sean Woodson did that octagon run.
Yes.
She's the only person that knows what Sean Woodson felt whenever he lost and then he won, because that never happens. It was it was the most confusing thing in the world. The people in my ear in the truck were like, Sean won, DC. And I was like, oh my goodness, Sean, you won the fight. It was the craziest thing ever. RC, he got his hand raised, but we also had another moment on Saturday night from Toronto. Frankie the Answer Edgar got introduced as the first member of the UFC Hall of Fame in 2024. When you think about Frankie Edgar, bro, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
David. And when I say David, I'm speaking of David and Goliath. And what I mean by that is Frankie Edgar, for a large part of his career, fought at a weight class that was heavier than he is. He fought some of the giants and legends of the game and continued to persevere, continued to overcome adversity, continued to win versus obstacles that people didn't expect him to. Like, Frankie Edgar, to me, is sort of like the true definition of what this sport means, that when people count you out, when people say you can't do it, you always have a fighting chance. And if they give you an opportunity to fight, then you have an opportunity to prove people wrong. And Frankie Edgar is going to be a guy that's pointed to, in my opinion, in gyms all across the world for a ton of time to come. When there's a guy that walks in and not a lot's expected of him, when there's a guy that walks in and he's not as big or as talented as some of the other dudes in their gym, they're going to bring up the name Frankie Edgar and talk about what he accomplished in some situations, maybe having less than his opponent, but finding a way to be the better fighter, finding a way to be the tougher man. And he deserves this honor a hundredfold. He's one of the people that made me fall in love with this sport and one of the fighters I've connected to much more than others.
Well, Frankie Edgar is tied for the record, RC, for title defenses at lightweight. We always talk about how few title defenses the best of all time have at heavyweight. Bro, the most title defenses in lightweight history are three: Khabib, Benson Henderson, and BJ Penn. And Frankie Edgar. Those four have defended the belt more than any lightweights in history. And he was undersized. So he went down to 145 and he fought for the belt three times. Then he went down to 135 and he fought for the interim championship against Piotr Jan. This guy is literally the definition of pound for pound. No matter what he did, he always found a way to get to the very top of the division, regardless of the division. He was extremely hardworking. He was extremely talented. He was a great guy inside the octagon and outside. He's a great father, great husband, and a great fighter. And when you think of Hall of Fame and you think about the color of that jacket, you know that Frankie Edgar deserves to wear the black and gold as much as anyone in UFC history. So I feel like he was and is the rightful person to lead this Hall of Fame class, which is going to be another fantastic one. So congratulations, Frankie. Congratulations to you and your entire family, to Coach Mark Henry, to your wife, to your children, and everybody that played a part in such a fantastic career. You are going into the Hall of Fame, man, and you deserve it so, so much. Congrats, champ. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From one Hall of Famer to a potential Hall of Famer, UFC 300 now has the great, the legend, Jim Miller versus Bobby Green. Someone who DC has just continued to rave about. Jim Miller and his opportunities and chances to be in the Hall. Wait, no, you haven't raved about those things, DC. So how excited are you, though, to see Jim Miller, the leader in all of UFC in wins, face Bobby Green, who is coming back after a vicious knockout?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see the fight because I'm not doing this no more. I'm literally not doing this no more because they have created a smear campaign on the great Jim Miller, who I absolutely adore, but they have manipulated me. They have tricked me. They have taken my words, and you are at the forefront of it, and they have made it bad, bro. I'm not doing this shit. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not doing this no more, dog. I'm not doing it to Jim Miller. I'm excited. I'm excited to see Jim Miller fight somebody in the top 15, man. Yeah, man, because y'all doing this to me. Y'all doing this to me on purpose. Y'all doing this to me on purpose, man. Y'all have made it to where I'm smearing poor Jim Miller, and that is not good because it's starting to look bad on my behalf, and now I got people turning on me. You've done it, dude. In the intro to the show, I got Amanda Nunes coming at me because of you. I got Max Holloway coming at me because of you, and now Jim Miller and all his fans are coming at me. So, yes, I'm excited about Jim Miller getting an opportunity to fight his way into the top 15. That's what I'm excited about. Not the Hall of Fame and or his lack thereof a Hall of Fame resume. I don't care. It doesn't work.
Hey, well, you said Amanda's mad at you because of the show. Max Holloway was also a guest of the show, and he asked me, how do you even work with DC? But we have exciting news. In UFC 300, he'll be facing Justin Gaethje for the BMFF belt. DC, when this fight was announced, what were your first thoughts?
You know, I was with Justin golfing in Vegas in December when they were trying to start put that fight together. So I knew that it was a possibility. I don't love it because they're both my buddies, right? I don't love it, but I do know that it's one of the best fights you can put on. Those guys are going to, it's guaranteed to be fun. I have never seen Justin Gaethje in a bad fight. Every fight's fun. Every fight is explosive. And he seems to be getting better as he goes along in his career. And if Max Holloway's most boring fight is the Yair Rodriguez fight because he wrestled a little bit, you know it's going to be good because that wasn't boring. It was only right. Max doing something different. So if his most boring fight was the Yair Rodriguez fight, which was explosive, you know that this is a fight that is truly deserving of being called a BMF title fight. First he had Poirier and Gaethje. Now you got Gaethje and Max Holloway. Unbelievable. It's crazy to RC. Isn't it crazy how that BMF championship went from two guys that were fun fighters but not necessarily elite guys anymore to now you got elite fighters fighting for that championship belt?
I think what's starting to happen is we are realizing, bro, it's only one belt in each weight class. This isn't boxing where we can have a myriad of alphabets to pick belts from. Only one dude gets to be the king of a weight class. And so now we've actually given a distinction and given an opportunities, you know, I don't really curse like this, for dudes who just badasses, right? For dudes that you look at who are top-notch fighters, maybe not the best fighter in their divisions, but they're also absolute dogs. We all get excited when we see Justin Gaethje's name on a fight card. We all get excited when we see Max Holloway's name on a fight card. And so to bring those two dudes together inside the octagon at UFC 300 seems like a no-brainer. The other piece of it is this. For me, it shows the heart of a fighter, though, DC, because there's no way you're Justin Gaethje and you don't think to yourself, this could be an absolute war. There's no way you're Max Holloway and you don't think to yourself, this could be an absolute war. They both know exactly what this is, and they're both game for it. To me, that's the mark of a fighter. That's the mark of someone who enjoys the violence of this competition. Because both of these dudes could very well sit in their houses and say, look at my resume. Look who I am. I don't need to fight for a fake belt because I'm good enough to be fighting for the belt. I have fought for the belt. I have worn a belt. But even with that, I'm comfortable getting in there with another warrior I expect. And so for me, DC, I'm excited to see this, and I respect both of these men so much. I do have a question for you. Should the BMF belt be something that's almost a little more official, where it can be defended, weight class be damned, right? Where it's a Justin Gaethje who's 155, a Max Holloway who's 145, and because they can meet, that belt's up for grabs. And now if Max Holloway takes it back down to 145 and there's someone else to fight, you can make that fight as well. Should we start to feel a little differently about this? Because let's think about the fights this belt has produced.
RC, I think I got an idea. What you think about this, RC? A BMF title between every two weight classes. A 35, 25 BMF championship. Yeah. A 45, 55 BMF championship. A 75, 170, 185 BMF title. And a heavyweight, light heavyweight BMF title. What if there's a BMF title for every two weight classes? Then
I think that,
you start defending it because...
No, I'm saying, I think that's actually I think that's the best idea I've ever heard, DC. Like, truly, and you've had some great ideas on this show. That's the best idea I've ever heard for this reason, DC. We focus so much on champ, right? Which is very difficult because the champion needs to continue to further along the contenders or further along the opportunities within his weight class. Because that's the only belt in that class. Whereas the BMF belt, because it's just about being a dog and who the fighters are, you can now have it in a situation where you don't have to be 205. And now you're not taking a fight camp and a fight time away from a weight class to get some of these fights where it's from two different divisions. I think that's genius, bro.
you know, I love the idea because it kind of makes sense. And it also keeps those guys busy and gives them something to fight for. Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I don't want to see a whole bunch of belts, like you said, the ABC thing of just WBC, WBF, IBF. I don't want to see that. WBF North America, WBC North America. I don't want to see that. But I don't think it's bad to have other belts. And I think this fight proves that you have two dudes at the top of the sport that are fighting for something that's a little less than the UFC championship because, like you said, it's very difficult. And there's only one person that can hold that. I mean, Volkanovski's now been the champ for like 1,500 days. That's a long time for one guy to rule atop a division. But we also see the belt moving around a lot at middleweight. So it just kind of depends on the weight class and that champion. Look, UFC 300 is going to be an absolutely stacked card. As of this taping, we still don't have a main event, but we will see what happens down the line. RC, it's time to tap in and tap out, my brother. Let's do this.
All right, guys. Last week, UFC Hall of Famer Uriah Faber announced he and Sacramento State are launching a university-backed combat sports program called Combat U. Faber will be an executive coach and offering classes in boxing, wrestling, Muay Thai, and jiu-jitsu. DC, tap in or tap out on Faber's Combat U.
Tap in. And I tap in on that, and I also tap in on the fact that Uriah Faber might just be the greatest businessman I've ever seen in my entire life. He just constantly starts things, and they always seem to work. He does a very good job of getting himself in front of the right people and then making those ideas that he has come to fruition. I tap all the way in. Congrats to Uriah Faber, man. This dude is showing time and time again how smart and of a businessman he is and how good he is at taking advantage of opportunities. Congratulations, Doug.
I tap in because there's so much of an interest in mixed martial arts. There's so much of an interest in combat sports. And in a world where people are trying to find alternative ways to be healthier and to get exercise, I think this is an ingenious idea by Uriah Faber.
UFC heavyweight Sergey Pavlovich decided to cold plunge in what seems to be the freezing cold waters in the midst of a snowstorm. RC, tap in and tap out on a cold plunge.
I tap in. I'm a real life G. Like, this is what I do. You know what I mean? I'd get up 5:30 every morning, go to work, and I'd put ice in the old silver tub on the side, fill it up a little bit so you could just crunch the ice down as you sit into it. Like, that's what gets you right. That's what shocks your body back into being ready to go, being conditioned for the next week. So I'm all with it. And Sergey Pavlovich is trying to say, yeah, I'm going to get on this just in case I get Tom Aspinall again and he won't put me on ice inside the octagon.
RC, you cold plunge every morning? You're a cold punch guy?
Not no more. I'm old. But yeah, I used to.
Dude, I am, RC. I do it in the morning. It really is. It really does shock you. But then you got to go into the shower and almost warm your body up after. Hey, Drakus Duplessis last week thought it was a great idea to go into the river. In Toronto, it was minus 20. He got in it. He said it took him an hour to defrost. It hurt him so bad. So while the cold plunge is a great idea, you got to be careful that it's not freezing when you get out so that you can warm yourself up. But, yeah, I tap in. Corporate Jake.
During last weekend's weigh-in show, our own DC partook in the show's game of who can chug maple syrup the quickest, and he did not disappoint.
That's hard.
RC, tap in or tap out chugging maple syrup?
I tap out on it. But I do tap in that I take DC in pretty much every food competition any UFC fighter could be involved in. And once again, he shows why he's the GOAT.
It hurt bad, RC. It actually hurt. Like, the syrup actually hurt. But it's crazy, right? Like, you think it's going to be a fun thing, and then you drink the maple syrup, and it's a little lighter than most syrup. I don't really like syrup to begin with, but hey. It is what it is. It's always fun doing stuff like that, but I won't ever do that again. I really do have some. I have problems, RC, with some of the things we do on the weigh-in show now. I'm starting to kind of peel away from some of these ideas. It feels like punishment, RC. It feels like punishment.
It's a punishment because you don't want Jim Miller to get to the Hall of Fame. That's why people tired of you. And I'm going to just keep bringing it up. We got, I don't know how many weeks until a Jim Miller fight. I'm going to bring it up every week. Remember what you said about Jim Miller?
Dude, you gotta
Jim Miller make the
you
Hall of Fame,
stop
DC?
Doing that, man. You gotta stop doing that,
hey,
man. You
guys,
can make me pick on Jim Miller, but you pick on everybody.
Because they can't beat me up, DC, because that would be punching down. And one thing I know about elite fighters is y'all don't punch down. Y'all ain't gonna waste y'all time fighting little bitty old RC who's old and decrepit now and can barely walk. So, guys, y'all catch all of our new episodes Tuesdays wherever you get your podcast or midnight on ESPN2. I'm RC. That is DC. We have enjoyed spending time with you again. Remember, Jim Miller, DC loves you.
RC, great show again. And guys, stick around. It's time for your boy to go one-on-one with Seth freaking Rollins. Let's go. All right, guys. So they had championships determined in Toronto last weekend. And while the championship won't be defended in St. Petersburg, a challenger may show himself for my next guest, the world heavyweight champion, Seth freaking Rollins. What's up, champ? How you doing, brother?
Yay, DC. Good to see you again, man. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Champ, this weekend is the Royal Rumble. We may get the next challenger. But first and foremost, I'm watching Raw last night. My boy walks into the ring, dripped out as always, and you make an announcement that you got hurt. You have a grade 2 torn MCL and a torn meniscus. Talk to me a little bit, champ, about when it happened. Did you feel something immediately? And what was the aftermath right away?
Yeah, it happened in the match last Monday, a week ago. I was wrestling Jinder Mahal for the WWE World title on Raw. I did a move, which I do all the time, called a moonsault, which is essentially a fancy name for a backflip, where I land on the guy. I landed a little bit short and basically hyperextended my knee, but in the process was kind of twisting a little bit to the point where I felt my knee go, you know, in a direction it wasn't supposed to. A lot of us athletes, we've had that feeling. I didn't feel a pop so much as I felt a stretch, but I knew something was wrong. I've had knee injuries in the past on my other knees, so knew something wasn't right. Obviously, take a second, try to take stock. We're on live TV, so you got to keep going. Figured out a way to finish the match, won the match, and then, you know, the race was on to get to the MRI and try to figure out exactly what the severity of the injury was going to be and what the timetable was going to be like for a hopeful return.
You know what's crazy? It's like I'm not gonna be over here throwing no disrespect. You know, I love Jinder Mahal like the next man, but that's your problem. You're wrestling Jinder Mahal. You wrestle anybody. If you wrestle anybody and you're always available all the time, you get hurt, man. That's what happens.
I know. It's a double-edged sword, man. I've been running hard for a long time, and sometimes it is what it is, dude. You know, it is what it is. Like, you know, there's like in your game, right? There's guys who like to fight once every 2 years or so, but there's guys who like to fight all the time. And I don't know what kind of fighter you were, but for me, I just work my best when I'm cooking, you know, when I'm doing the work every week.
Yes.
So, you know, the more I fight, the more I'm in the ring, the better I feel like I am. And so, you know, with that, obviously the more time you spend in the ring or in the octagon, you're just going to get, there's more risk for injury. That's just part of the game, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, you know, for me, it's like you are the world heavyweight champion, but the Intercontinental champion used to be considered the Iron Man. I feel like you take that Iron Man approach to your career, and that's why we all love you so much. But right now, champ, the focus has to shift to the recovery. So what does the next few months look like as we head into WrestleMania season and you get ready to compete on April 6th?
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania is obviously the big, I mean, that's the one, you know, you want to do everything you can to get ready for that show. This WrestleMania this year, especially 40 years, it's going to be huge in Philadelphia for 2 nights. And I've never carried a world title into WrestleMania. I've never even been a world champion during the Royal Rumble. So this weekend itself is especially important to me because I'm a prize, you know, myself and Roman Reigns, we're a prize for the first time ever. Often I've been in the Rumble. I've been one of the guys trying to get to that spot. But I've never been on the other side of it. So it feels very cool in a way to be on the sidelines. With that said, yeah, rehab's going to be a pain, man, you know, but, dodged a bullet. The ACL is intact. So anybody who knows anything about ligaments in the knee, the ACL is a big one. That one is good. The MCL will heal with time. You know, we'll get in there. We'll do some stuff. We'll check out the PRP and do some rehab. I'm hoping to be back at full strength around a month. around a month is like kind of my timeline, and we'll see what happens. We're going to take it day to day. I'd like to be back in a month. I don't want to walk into WrestleMania and that be my first match in 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is. Like, that's not going to be good for me. I want to be able to get back in there, kind of test the wheel out and make sure that we're in a good place. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm taking it day by day, and I'm happy. Like I said, that we dodged a bullet and wasn't anything too serious that was going to put me on the shelf for 6 to 9 months.
You spoke about the Royal Rumble and how you've been one of the guys in there trying to earn a championship opportunity. Who do you expect to come out of this thing this weekend? And what makes the Royal Rumble so special? Because we as people that watch it, I mean, I love that event.
I mean, it's probably my favorite event on the calendar. It's just so unpredictable. There's nothing like it. We do nothing like it the entire calendar year. And this year especially is super unpredictable, I think. I mean, you got some favorites, right? You've got Cody Rhodes looking to repeat. You got my boy CM Punk in there trying to, you know, do whatever it is he thinks he's going to do. You got Gunther, who I ran into last night. And then you got wild cards. You know, there's not been a lot of people announced for the Rumble this year. So who knows who could pop up in that thing? The surprises are always a big part of the Royal Rumble. Who's going to come back? Who's going to debut? All these types of things, the men and the women. And so it's really exciting to see just how it plays out and what the stretch run into WrestleMania is going to look like, because you just never know. And when you think you do know, something changes, switches up, sends you a curveball, and you got to adapt. So it's a really fun event for the fans and for the performers as well.
You know what I like about you is you said CM Punk. Last year when we spoke at WrestleMania, you wanted to kind of pop Cody Rhodes upside the head. Now I saw when CM Punk came back, you wanted to pop him upside the head. So what do you make of CM Punk and his return? And that's like, honestly, you know, that's why I like it so much, Seth, because you be having beefs out there. And you know me, man, I love a good beef.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, the Punk thing is, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know. I never thought in a million years we'd be at this point. You know, when he came out at Survivor Series and came back, it was really a surreal moment. And in some ways I'm real happy for the fans, for his fans that have been wanting this moment for him for a very long time. But, I just don't want the problems that he brings. I really don't. I mean, WWE's in just an incredible place. I feel like I've been an anchor of that for the last decade. And in the last few years, I mean, we've just started to skyrocket. You know, I mean, you look at the Netflix deal today, huge news for our industry, for the entertainment industry, for live sports in general. It's just going to be a massive shift. And I feel like I've been a big part of that. And the one thing I don't want is somebody like that who's caused problems and been a selfish, I don't want to curse on your show, been a selfish jerk everywhere he's gone. I don't want him to come in here and ruin what we've done and what we've built. Like, he doesn't deserve to get a piece of that pie. He doesn't deserve it. He hasn't put in the time. He hasn't done anything. He went away and he stayed away. And all he did the entire time he was gone was complain and whine and moan and try to tear this place down. And in spite of him, in spite of his efforts, we've made this the best and biggest wrestling company on the planet, grown it, you know, beyond what anybody's imagination would have ever dreamed. And so I don't want him coming in here. I've used the word cancer before. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I just don't want him to be the reason this thing takes a nosedive or even takes a dip. You know, he doesn't deserve that.
Seth, 40 years of Hulkamania, and we've all had Hulkamania memories. I know I saw that. I try to move forward. That's what we call in TV, try to get past it before we go. Because, you know, I want to keep asking questions about it, but we got to move on. But 40 years of Hulkamania, and we all have those great Hulkamania, WrestleMania moments. But, Seth, my greatest Hulkamania moment was WrestleMania 31. Take a look. Now we cashed in, We cashed in, Seth. We cashed in, baby. We cashed in, and you won. My son didn't speak to me the whole way back because he said, and then last night I asked him about a champ. I said, Dan, You remember when Seth cashed in? I go, you wouldn't talk to me. I go, why? He goes, because you cried. He goes, you acted like a baby and you were crying because you were so happy that he became the world champion. When you look at that, bro, like, what does that make you feel, that moment, as we head into WrestleMania season?
Dude, that's why I got into this industry. That those moments like that, you know, you talk about Hulk Hogan and he did that for me as a kid. And the fact that I'm able to do that for children, but also grown children as well, in any capacity, that's what makes our industry so special, dude. It makes it so special. Mm-hmm. It's such a cool medium of storytelling that we have, this unique blend of athleticism, of sport and action and you know, acting and all that. It's such a cool thing that we get to do, man. And when I see stuff like that, it takes me back to the way I feel. And I still feel that way when I'm watching this, you know, I'm still a huge fan. So anytime I see moments like that, man, I'll shed a tear over almost anything. I'm especially now that I'm a dad, God, I'm crying all the time. It doesn't even matter. Yeah. So I love seeing that. That was almost 10 years ago, DC. That was like nine
Can you
years
believe that?
2015. That's crazy. I can't.
It's so crazy how fast time passes.
Flown by.
It flies.
It's scary,
and you have done
dude.
Nothing
it's
but great
scary.
Work, my friend. Dude, I'm so happy to see you with your continued success. Good luck in the recovery, champ. I will see you in Philly as I always go to WrestleMania. Enjoy the Rumble this weekend, bro. And good luck on your road to recovery and defending your championship again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. It's great to talk to you. I can't wait to see you in April.
You're the man. Seth Rollins, ladies and gentlemen.